Welcome to Carittles. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, how to talk about layoffs in an interview.
The questions this cast answers are, what do I say when I've been laid off? How do I say I've been unemployed in an interview? And should I hide a layoff?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Before we get started, did you know we have got a Career Tools license designed specifically to help you land your next big job? Check us out online at manager-tools.com to learn more. Now, to the show.
Amanda, you and I talked about this a few weeks ago, that layoffs have become the default method of right-sizing, or making the company the right size, as companies have moved away from long-term employment contracts. If you don't have an employment contract and a pension with somebody, then it's much easier to let them go. And that has made letting people go more of a way for companies to quickly reduce costs when they need to than it used to be. It used to be layoffs were a last resort, and now they seem to be the first resort. I don't think they are, it just seems that way. But it's certainly much more common than it used to be. And so that means if you are entering today's workforce, or even if you're in the workforce today, you are much more likely to experience multiple layoffs during your career. And that means we have to be able to talk about layoffs during an interview. The fact that it's so common means it doesn't need to be so much of an emotional burden for you. Like, it's a common thing. It happens. It's not about you most of the time. That's what we're going to talk about in this cast, but we'll talk about what to say in interviews specifically.
So what we're going to talk about is first that you need to prepare a 3-sentence answer. Then you need to prepare to answer questions about what you've been doing since the layoff. And then lastly, prepare answers in case you're pressed.
We're going to start with a 3-sentence answer to the question, were you laid off? And that question can come up in a multitude of ways. You might need to say that you were laid off if they've asked you, tell me about yourself, and you've gone through like your work history, and you've got to the point where it was your last job, and you can say, and you have to say, I was laid off. And they say, tell me about that, or tell me more about that. It might be a question like, why did you leave your last position? Or why are you leaving this position? Or it might come up more obliquely, like it might be just part of the conversation as you go on, oh, and that job I was laid off for, especially if it was several jobs ago. But however you end up there, then you don't need to be embarrassed or ashamed about layoffs that took out whole departments or lines of business, or where individual performance wasn't considered. So anytime the company just got rid of 4,000 people because the company needed to and they didn't look at individuals, that's nothing to do with your performance and everything to do with the way the company was being run. And unless you're the executive, it's not you. And you're one among 4,000, among hundreds of thousands in a year or a month, even some years. And so there's nothing to be upset about or ashamed about, or like find this part of the interview difficult. We're just going to do a matter-of-fact description of what happened, why it happened, and what you're looking forward to in the future.
And even if your layoff was predicated on your performance, being embarrassed or ashamed of your past performance isn't going to help you in an interview. You can't change it. You can't change the past. So it is what it is. And your job now is to be able to convince the hiring manager that you've learned from that experience and you're ready to deliver your best in a new role. So a well-prepared, confident answer delivered with the equanimity will provoke far fewer questions than a hesitant, mumbled one. So preparing a description ahead of time about what happened and practicing it is now your first job before going into the interview.
And for all the people that are thinking, oh, well, I'll just massage the truth. Although reference checking has become less common because companies can get less information. There's a lot of companies which will only confirm that somebody worked there and the dates of their employment now for a whole bunch of reasons which are not worth going into. Hiring companies can still uncover that you were targeted for a layoff due to performance, even if you claim it was part of a broader reduction that didn't consider individuals. Remember, hiring managers are connected to other people in their network. And the weird thing I'm sure everybody has an example. I have an example. We were in a restaurant in New Zealand in Queenstown, and my two friends who were on vacation with us and I were talking about the town near where we grew up, and somebody from two tables over said, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe that you're from there. That's where I'm from too." And three of us are from England, and we were in Queenstown in New Zealand in the middle of a Tuesday afternoon. And all of those like weird coincidences of like, how is it that we would all be in this same restaurant on the other side of the world? That happens for other people too. So if you think that, oh, no one will ever find out because my team isn't connected, like they don't have like a network, nobody knows anybody over in that company. Well, if you've ever had one of those weird coincidences happen to you, you know, the world is small. So whatever you say or imply in interviews must be truthful, not only because integrity is an ethical imperative, like we have to be truthful. That's part of like, if we're not truthful, then working together is really hard. But also because if you deceive the person, you know, if you are massaging the truth, it comes out in the wash. It always does. And it's not worth going through 3 months, 6 months, 9 months worrying that it's going to come out in the wash and not performing, right? It's better to say the truth at the beginning and then never have that worry looming over you.
So now we're going to give you examples of how to start crafting this response. So the first sentence you're going to say is, "What happened?" And your first sentence is going to describe what happened in a factual, unemotional language. So different examples of that could be, "My position was eliminated when my previous employer reduced their workforce by approximately 10% as part of a company-wide restructuring." Just plain language, factual. There's nothing to hide. There's nothing to, dare I say, get worked up about, right? Mm-hmm. Another example is, "My previous company laid off 100 people due to a downturn in product sales, and I was among that number."
Another one, "The company decided to lay off the bottom 10% of performance in the division, and that included me." And remember, if you are the bottom 10% of performers in the division, that doesn't mean you had bad performance necessarily. You know, if everybody is an A or an A minus performer, then the bottom 10% were all A minus performers. So even if that were the case, it's not a natural conclusion that therefore you must have been a bad performer. The next one, "My performance over the last 6 months had been substandard and I was targeted for a layoff." And that's admitting that, you know, I wasn't doing well and so therefore I was amongst those that were laid off. Again, you can't change the past. And if that's the truth, then that's the truth. And I will tell you the story of when I got fired, which is not quite the same scenario, but I got fired. I was in an interview later trying to explain this slightly odd structure that we had. I reported to someone, but I had two people who reported to me, but also reported to him. It was all a bit weird. And the reason I got fired was because I had made a mistake in an advert that goes into the newspaper. And I'd been told no more mistakes, and I made a mistake, and that was what happened. And I was explaining this to the person who was interviewing me and explaining this slightly odd reporting structure, and she just said, "Well, that's a really weird way to run a business," and moved on to the next question. And I had been fretting, like all of everybody ever does, if you've been fired or if you've been laid off, "Oh gosh, how are people going to take it? What are they going to ask me? They're going to make me go into all the details and then I'm going to be upset and I don't want to be upset in an interview." And I felt all of those things too. And then she just said, "Well, that's a weird way to run a business," and just carried on. So even if you think that these things are incredibly negative, surprisingly, interviewers are much less worried about it than you might think, especially if they already like you. So if they've looked at your resume, you've come in, you've done Tell Me About Yourself, and they're on the side of like, "I like this person, they're interviewing well, they're answering my questions, they have the right experience," they are looking for reasons to say yes, which if you're a manager, tools hiring manager, is the wrong thing to be doing, but that's what hiring managers do most of the time. They're looking for reasons to say yes. And when you give them that piece of negative information, they just dismiss it because it doesn't fit with their worldview. So if you're the interviewee in this case, feel good. This is going to be less of a big deal than you think it is.
All right. Another example is, "The project I was grant funded. We lost the funding and the labs were closed, which laid off all the researchers, including myself. Another example is I was working on a contract and the company laid off all contract workers to reduce costs.
You can do. My previous company used a last in, first out method for deciding who to lay off after losing a big contract. I was one of the last to be hired, so I was laid off. Or following an acquisition, the parent company centralized HR operations, eliminating regional positions, including mine. So one thing, if there is a number, if there was a widespread layoff and there's a number like 10% or 4,000 or however many, and you can include that number that makes you one of many, include it. If it's not there for you to include, don't worry about it, but it is a useful indicator of it really wasn't about me.
Sorry for the interruption, folks. Just jumping in here today to talk a little bit about the Manager Tools Train the Trainer program. If you love our Manager Tools guidance, yet would rather have control over the dates, times, and number of people being trained at a time, or have a large organization to be trained, and would like to achieve the benefits of logistical and cost savings, our Train the Trainer program might be perfect for you. If you'd like to learn more, send an email to Maggie at customerservice@manager-tools.com, and she'll help you out with some more information. Now, back to the show.
So what we just talked about was the first sentence describing what happened. The second sentence is going to be for clarifying your performance. For those of you who were told that the layoff was not performance-based, this is an opportunity to provide evidence to the hiring manager that you have a good faith belief that this is true.
So you would then say something like, I was told my layoff was not performance-based. I believe that was true because I delivered my last project on time and on budget. In other words, I did what I was asked to do, therefore I believe them when they say to me it's not about performance. Or I believed it to be true because I had met all of the performance targets for the last 6 months. Or my manager had praised my performance in a meeting in the previous week. Or I had a 95% customer satisfaction rating. So we're trying to provide some evidence for our belief that the layoff wasn't to do with our performance so that the hiring manager or the interviewer in this interview can feel good about our saying it wasn't about me.
For those of you whose layoff was performance-based, this is not an opportunity to prove that the company made the wrong decision by arguing that your performance was up to standard. In all honesty, it will just make the interviewer feel uncomfortable if you put them in a place of judgment between you and your previous company. So putting them in the middle of your personal argument is not going to benefit you during the interview process. Even if you do feel like you were slighted or that you have to prove yourself, this is not the time. And an argument isn't going to put you in any better light.
No. So for example, you don't want to say, I was told my layoff was about my performance, but they only laid people off who were over 50. So I think it was age discrimination. And the kids they had running the team hated people who knew more than them. And you might think that this is an exaggeration, that no one would ever say this in an interview, and you would be wrong, because I have heard it in an interview.
Instead, make sure it's based on the truth, so you can either agree with the assertion or disagree, but in not more than one sentence. The longer you talk about it, the more prominence it takes in the interviewer's mind. So summarize it quickly and move on. So an example of this could be, I was told my layoff was performance-based, and I had a poor review the year before. I believe my performance has improved, though, as I'd met all of my targets in the last 3 months. So giving them the information to support that you have made improvements. And it shows a little disagreement, but that there's evidence to support the contrary. Or I was told my layoff was about performance, although my manager had not given me any previous indication of poor performance. So your manager didn't give any indication beforehand, so it was a complete surprise to you that you would have been in the bottom percentage of performance. And then lastly, I was told that I was laid off due to my missing work for illness at the beginning of the year. I understand the company needed to make difficult decisions, and I accept their choice. So the poor performance would have performance-based, but not necessarily because of performance. Maybe you were just out, which impacted your results.
And you might want to follow up that one with something like, I'm much better now, or I am now restored to full health. I'm looking forward to delivering whatever. But something that reassures the company, the interviewer, that that part of it is part of your life is done. Which brings us to pivoting to the future, which is your third sentence. So the next couple of sentences you use to describe what you're excited about for the future. And whatever you do, make sure that whatever you say in these sentences is covered by the job that you're going for. If you say, I'm excited for working with high net worth customers, the job better have high net worth customers. Because if you say something that you're really passionate or excited about the job, and the job doesn't have that element, you're ruling yourself out of the job because you're not, the job can't provide you with that thing. And if the interviewer believes that the job can't provide you with whatever you're going to be happy about, then they're not going to hire you. So for example, if you say, I'm excited to work on innovative training programs, make sure the role involves instructional design or learning development. If you talk about your enthusiasm for data-driven decision-making, the job needs to have analytics or strategy or data in it somehow. If you match your excitement with the position, it shows that you've done the research, which is another thing that you can't believe that people do, but they do. They talk about jobs that they're interviewing for as if it's a completely different job. It's bizarre. Or they'll talk about a product that's not that company's product. It's weird. And I think it's a function of like people doing a lot of interviews one after another, but I also think it's a function of not doing enough research. It also, if you match your excitement to something that is actually in the job, it shows the employer that your motivation and your aspirations are a good fit for the role. And one of the things they're looking for is fit.
Yeah. And again, if you haven't done the research and you decide to express excitement and opportunities that aren't included within the job that you're applying for, saying things like, I'm excited for a leadership role and to manage a team when you are in fact applying for an individual contributor role. And this is going to raise more questions if you're going to be satisfied in the role that you're applying for. So if the interviewer thinks like you didn't do the research, but you're looking for leadership, but this isn't a leadership role, are you going to be happy here long term? And raise those questions that you don't want to because
you have an hour.
You should do the research.
Usually, like you want 58 of those minutes to be positive for the hiring manager. The other two, they're talking.
You don't want to put those doubts in their mind.
Exactly. So some examples of this, I'm taking this opportunity of being laid off to find a role that allows me to deepen my expertise in some specific role or field, something I've been eager to develop further. Or I'm excited to join a team where I can contribute my experience in whatever skill while continuing to learn and grow in some related area. Or I'm looking forward to applying my problem-solving skills to new challenges and see the impact of my work in a fresh environment. So you don't need to be looking for something entirely new. It could be just about like a new environment or new customers or in a new team, like doing the same thing in a new team can be refreshing. And so you can be excited about that.
So we've talked about preparing your three sentence answer to the layoff question. And after that, you're going to want to make sure that you have prepared answers to the questions about what you've been doing since the layoff. Because even though you have prepared the short answer, there might be more questions that the interviewer has about what you've been doing in your downtime. So you'll want to prepare that ahead of time. This is a situation that you can expect if you've had a significant break in your work, a month or more. And again, a confident, well-delivered answer will provoke fewer questions from the interviewer. So you're going to want to create a response that focuses on the fact that you've been using your time productively. Employers want to see that you've remained in touch through training, networking, freelancing, volunteering, or taking time for professional development. Even if your job search has taken longer than expected, showing that initiative and that proactive mindset will assure the interviewers that you're serious about your career. Use the what I've been doing as a foundation for the next sentence, which emphasizes what you've been doing as you've prepared for this new opportunity.
So we're going to talk about what I've been doing, which is looking for work, and how that fits with this new job. So we're going to have two sentences and then a sort of follow-up that everybody is going to use. So the first sentence acknowledges the need for work. In other words, if you've been laid off, everybody needs to work. Most people need to work. And if you're interviewing, then you need to work. So we've got to like acknowledge that reality of I've been looking for a job. So for example, I've been actively pursuing opportunities that align my skills and career goals. or I've been exploring roles in whatever industry where I can apply my experience in some specific skill or expertise. And again, make sure these match the job that you're actually interviewing for. You might say, I've taken this time to refine my skills, expand my network, and identify the next right step in my career. Or I've been focused on finding a role where I can make meaningful impact and I'm excited about this opportunity. So something that says, yes, I have been looking for work and I've done it with some kind of focus, some kind of plan, some kind of idea of where I'm going next. Spray and pray. I wasn't just sending out millions of applications for any job. I had some kind of plan in mind.
And the second sentence in this answer, you're going to describe the positive actions that you've taken. So for example, my goal is to submit 20 applications and secure 3 interviews each week. So far, I've achieved that in 5 out of 6 weeks. So showing that you're proactive in the search for work. Another example is I've taken the opportunity to complete an online course in that specific subject to strengthen my skills in the relevant area. Again, hopefully the area is relevant to who you're interviewing with. And this time has allowed me to work on a passion project, which you will add a brief description of the project that you've been working on.
You could do, I've enjoyed dedicating time to expanding my professional network by attending industry webinars, engaging in discussions, and connecting with experts in some specific field. Or, in addition to my job search, I've been enhancing my expertise through online courses, certifications, freelance projects, volunteer work, whatever it is that you've been doing, you can fill in there.
You can say, I've stayed active in my industry by networking, staying up to date on trends, and refining my skills through, insert relevant activity. So just staying on top of it or making sure you're doing the research of how things have trended while you've been out of work can be very helpful. Or you can say, I've focused on my professional development, including that specific activity to better prepare for my next role. And hopefully, whatever that continuing education is or certification, it is relevant to how you are going to apply it to the role that you're applying for.
So what we want to do is make a mix of at least one thing that's work-related, such as learning a new skill or getting up to speed with something that's relevant to the job you're applying for. But also you can include human things like spending time with your children or exploring a hobby. You don't need to prove that you spent 90 hours a week looking for a job or, you know, that you've sent out 400 applications. In fact, that's a negative because if that's how long it took you to find this interview, the interviewer will wonder, why did all these other people turn them down and I'm interviewing them? What did they see that I'm not seeing? So you want it to be that 20 applications a week and 3 interviews is I'm being successful. There's something good about me. And therefore, you can believe that there's something good about me. That's what you're saying to the interviewer. So you want to be a little bit careful about the volume of job hunting that you've apparently been doing. Because if the application is that you're doing a lot of job hunting, but you're not getting interviews or hired, the interviewer is going to start to begin to think, what's wrong with them that I'm not seeing? So focus on the things that you've been doing that enhance your career or enhance your skills or make you better than you were. And if you do include learning, such as completing an online course, obviously you need to be able to specifically say what that course was or a certification or the skills you need to be, where we've just said relevant skills, you obviously need to be able to be a lot more specific, especially if you're talking about learning something. If they then ask you about that thing, oh, you've been learning about cutting edge techniques in data analysis, you better be able to talk about cutting edge techniques in data analysis, that thing you just learned. Otherwise, it just doesn't look like it. It looks like you just said it to make it sound good. The last part of this is you finish with a reminder that you're ready for work. So I'm looking forward to being part of a team and working to help customers again. I'm looking forward to being able to help a company deliver the right products for customers by analyzing their data, whatever it is that you're looking forward to being part of a team to do.
And then the last topic that we're going to talk about is that you want to prepare answers in case you're pressed. So prepare yourself for the interviewer to continue to ask questions about the circumstances of your layoff. It'll probably happen less than you fear. Most interviewers have enough experience of layoffs to know that for most people, they're not about performance. They're just caught up in that wide swing of the axe, that they're just part of the bulk resizing of an organization.
So again, like I said about my firing, you'll be surprised at how little people ask about layoffs or firings or whatever. But that said, some interviewers, such as those who've had negative experience with candidates or some who still believe in stress interviews, which is ridiculous, but they're still out there. But they may dig deeper. So in those situations, you want to acknowledge the question and then pivot to something positive. So for example, I can understand why you're asking that question. And I'm afraid I wasn't given any more detail that I can share with you. I can tell you about the last project I was on and how that relates to the role. Or I can tell you about the learning I've been doing and how that I think that would be helpful in this role. Or I can tell you something. So you just want to acknowledge that they have a reason for keep asking the same question, but like try and move on to something that's more positive.
So talking about a layoff during an interview can feel overwhelming, but like any difficult topic, having a prepared and practiced response helps you get through it more easily. Make sure you acknowledge the situation honestly and focus on what you can bring to the new opportunity. Most candidates find this ends up being much less difficult than they anticipated. Just like any other part of the interview, come prepared. And setting it up this way can help.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.
Bye.